this corner, a Trump-appointed U.S. attorney vowing to press ahead with immigration raids, damn the consequences.
There's nothing unconstitutional or illegal about what we're doing, and we comply with all case law, we comply with the Constitution, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing. It's not going
to
stop.
And in this corner, California's senior U.S. attorney looks to unmask ICE agents carrying out those provocative raids.
Honestly, I think that's Donald Trump's primary intent, to cause fear, to create terror in so many communities across Los Angeles and across the country.
Welcome to the Hump Day edition of the L.A. Local for Wednesday, July 9th, 2025. It's brought to you by the L.A. Car Guy family of dealerships. I'm your host, Jonathan Service. Look, in the interest of full disclosure, I'm wearing a face mask during the recording of today's show, but it's not out of fear for my safety or doxing. It's just because I'm sort of a local celebrity now, and the fame just gets a little bit overwhelming. You know what I mean? You buying that? On today's local, it's a, on the one hand, and on the other hand, kind of a show. We'll hear from both sides of the intensifying standoff over immigration enforcement in Southern California. And at the end of today's local, explaining a bit of good news in what is setting up to be a record low homicide rate for the city of Los Angeles this year. The day after the city and county of Los Angeles signed on to a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of ICE's ongoing immigration raids, we talk with the U.S. Attorney for the Central District of California, Bill Asaley, who was formerly a Republican state lawmaker before being appointed to his new federal position by President Trump. This was a two-for-one type of interview with Asaley because we also covered another piece of breaking news. The Trump administration says it's suing California's Department of Education and the CIF, which runs high school sports in the state, over alleged Title IX violations. What are those violations, you might ask? The administration says the state is allowing boys to compete in girls' sporting events. You guessed it, it's transgender athletes in sports. Again, the state's current policy allows athletes to participate in sports consistent with their gender identity. You might remember that this became a big issue when one athlete, a trans girl, participated in the state track and field finals in the long jump competitions. The Trump administration had a bit of a tantrum and a freak out over it. Our Brian Ping spoke with Asaley, starting with young transgender athletes before transitioning, see what I did there, to immigration policy.
This seems to be affecting a just an exceedingly small number of athletes here. So is it worth punishing everybody, cutting off billions of dollars in funding?
Look, this lawsuit today is about forcing the state of California to come into compliance with Title IX. So it's not about money. It's about compliance. And what we're asking is for an injunction ordering the state of California to comply with Title IX. That's what this lawsuit's about.
Well, the governor says that no court has adopted the interpretation of Title IX, so there's something to be argued out over that. What do you say about that?
I think no state has taken the ridiculous position of California, and the opportunity hasn't been afforded to the court to rule on it. But here we are. We're going to have a lawsuit. We'll see him in court. I just don't know how any person with any common sense can objectively look at the facts and think it's okay to let biological boys play on girls' teams and take all the trophies and win all the positions. No rational person thinks that's okay or in compliance with Title IX.
Well, you say it's not about money, but we're talking about a lot of money lost for the state, and that's going to impact a lot of people who have nothing to do with taking one position or another about trans athletes in girls' sports.
I don't believe the money has been drawn down yet. That is one option the federal government has. Before we get there, we're going this route, and we are asking a court to issue an order to force California to comply. That's our preferred route.
Okay, Mr. Asaley, I've got to ask you while I have you on the line here about the other legal battle. L.A. has joined other local governments in a lawsuit to stop the immigration raids going on. They claim they're unconstitutional and illegal. How do you respond to that?
Yeah, I don't know what they're talking about. It'd be very interesting to see the arguments in court. We're enforcing the immigration law as written by Congress. There's nothing unconstitutional or illegal about what we're doing. And we comply with all case law. We comply with the Constitution. And we're going to keep doing what we're doing. It's not going to stop. Los Angeles is part of the United States of America. We are going to enforce immigration laws in the city of Los Angeles, whether they like it or not. So they better buckle up.
So, okay, so you've got a rock solid illegal case here, and bring it on, essentially, is what you're saying with any lawsuit.
Bring it on. We're not afraid of what we're doing. We are complying with the law. We are enforcing the law. It's the city of LA that is acting inappropriately. And we've actually sued them. We sued them last week for their sanctuary state policies, which are we believe violates the supremacy clause and interferes in our ability to enforce immigration laws. So again, you have a state and a city that thinks they are a true sanctuary from federal immigration laws. That's not how this works. There are wars been fought over this. The federal government is the supreme power in the United States, and California and Los Angeles are still part of the United States.
Be that as it may, there's a lot of people who may be subjected to these actions that are deeply interwoven into the community. And so because of that, there are a lot of people who may be subject or not, those close to them, that are just living in fear about these armed federal agents on the street. What's the message you want to tell them?
Well, if you're in the country unlawfully, we encourage you to self-deport. We have an app. You can go under the CVP website, and we will pay for your ticket, and you can self-deport. There's nothing to be afraid of. If you are in the country lawfully, if you're a legal immigrant, you have nothing to be afraid of. You're not subject to any immigration enforcement operation. So I really don't know what to tell people. It's the prior administration that allowed millions of people to enter this country unlawfully. We saw it every day on the news, people pouring over the border. And the president was clear that when he took office, he was going to enforce the law, and the people who came here unlawfully will have to go back. And that's what's happening now.
Okay, that's Bill Asaley, the U.S. Attorney for the Central District of California. Mr. Asaley, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Now on to the other side of this debate. California senior U.S. senator is trying to mandate that federal agents properly identify themselves. The just-introduced Visible Act of 2025 requires immigration enforcement officers to display clearly marked identification, including their agency name and either their name or badge number. And here's the important part. The bill would prohibit non-medical face coverings such as masks. Brian Ping, a busy man today, talked with the bill's author, U.S. Senator Alex Padilla.
ICE agents insist the face masks are necessary because, well, they go into some dangerous situations here. They might be facing threats, violence, doxing. How do you respond to those concerns?
Yeah, well, I understand those concerns. I've heard and been informed by former ICE agents and former ICE leadership in crafting the legislation. So if they're indeed truly targeting only the dangerous, violent criminals that Donald Trump has pointed out, there are exceptions to those sorts of operations in this bill. But what we're seeing in Los Angeles and across the country, for that matter, but especially in Los Angeles, is not those dangerous, violent criminals. When ICE agents and other federal agents are enforcing immigration laws, detaining people in churches, in schools, including elementary schools, outside of Home Depots and Lowe's, it's not the dangerous situation that they should be afraid of. And frankly, this measure is both for community safety and agent safety. Think about it. If you were approached by somebody that was masked up, no markings to suggest to you that they're a law enforcement officer coming out of a completely unmarked vehicle, detaining you, what's to make you think you're not being kidnapped or worse? And so when people know that it's a law enforcement official that is approaching them, their response is going to be a little different than when they are not sure and are already in fear and feel in danger. So it's both for the safety of community and the safety of agents. These requirements of identification apply to other federal law enforcement officials, state and local officials, without problems. And so I think it just makes sense to apply it to ICE as well.
Okay, so let's zoom out for a second to the ongoing immigration enforcement. There was a display of a small army of heavily armed ICE agents parading through MacArthur Park. The subsequent threats by Border Patrol leadership to go anywhere, anytime they please. We heard from the U.S. attorney earlier who's saying that Los Angeles is part of the United States of America. But there's a process in how that plays out, too, when you're talking about what do they have the right to do and how they carry it out, because the way they've been carrying out certainly has caused a lot of fear.
Exactly. And honestly, I think that's Donald Trump's primary intent, to cause fear, to create terror in so many communities across Los Angeles and across the country. What we saw in MacArthur Park is just the show, the spectacle that Donald Trump loves. You saw not just ICE agents, you saw military-grade weapons, you saw mounted on horseback agents combing through MacArthur Park just minutes after there was a summer day camp for kids that were there. At the end of all this, an untold amount of taxpayer dollars, not one detention, not one arrest, but I'm sure plenty of content for Donald Trump and the Department of Homeland Security social media feed. So it's sad that that's where your taxpayer dollars are going, and offensive and dangerous because, again, the fear and terror that's being imposed on so many hardworking people and communities throughout the Los Angeles region.
Billions of dollars in the budget bill that was passed and signed are going to ICE to make it a even more mightier organization, almost on the level of a branch of the military. So we could reasonably expect this to keep going on. So what can we expect from those who want to resist and at least, you know, call them out for any perceived illegal actions here? And what's the message to the community?
Yeah, so a couple of things. Number one, let's be clear as to what this budget reconciliation bill approved last week does. It completely increases the Department of Homeland Security and specifically the ICE budget in the hopes for Donald Trump and congressional Republicans of making ICE the largest law enforcement agency in the country, larger than the military for most other countries. They're trying to create a police state, a military state in the United States of America. And I think it's just a wrong-headed approach. If they were strictly focused on the dangerous criminals they speak so much of, that'd be one thing. But what we're seeing is increasingly the people being detained, so many people being deported, so many without due process, which is so fundamental in the United States of America. We're going to see more of it. We're going to see more cruelty. We're going to see more overreach. And it has got to stop. So what can people do? First of all, know your rights. Anybody in the United States, regardless of immigration status, has due process rights, has the ability to speak to their lawyer before signing any documents. Others that are out there concerned, let's keep organizing. You know, we can march, we can peacefully protest, we can rally, we can engage at the community level, support advocacy organizations, and especially for those eligible, register to vote, register your friends and family to vote. Let's get ready for the midterm elections.
One more question, Senator. We spoke with the U.S. Attorney Bill Esaley earlier today, and he said that if you are not in the country illegally, you have nothing to fear. Is that true? I don't think you would agree with that.
Yeah, no, absolutely not true. We have too many reports of lawful citizens that lawful residents that have been detained and deported, even United States citizens that have been rounded up. Too many ICE agents, too many other federal agents without the ICE training and preparation that have just sort of detained first, ask questions later. That's not the way this democracy works.
U.S. Senator Alex Padilla. Senator, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Finally tonight, some good news. L.A. streets are dramatically safer this year. There's still a debate over why it's happening. More now from our Pete Demetrio.
At the end of June, there'd just been 116 murders in L.A., a 23% drop from the same time last year, and we're on track to have the lowest number of killings since 1969. L.A. police officials point to more effective deployment strategies and the use of gang reduction youth development teams as part of the reason. But UC Irvine criminologist Miguel Quintana Navarrete feels demographics and trends on who commits violent crimes are also involved.
A very well-known and relatively general observation, which is that most violent crime is perpetrated and most victims of violent crime are young people. And so from that basic observation, we could expect that places, cities, and countries with younger populations would typically experience more violent crime. And one thing that's happened in the last 30 years or so is that most American cities, including L.A., are becoming older.
In short, the key to a positive future may well depend on whether a push for more police or more financial investment in urban communities will generate a continued drop in the murder rate and other crimes in L.A.
So in the midst of a year that started out with our city on fire, then we were under siege from a small army of masked up militia guys, Angelenos have decided to transcend hate, to be a little kinder and gentler to each other. I love my city. This has been the L.A. Local for Wednesday, July 9th. It's sponsored by the LA Car Guy family of dealerships. You can see the inventory for all 12 dealerships at lacarguy.com. The hottest day of our mini heat wave is coming up tomorrow, so stay safe, stay cool out there. Have a beautiful night.